What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about Two Loss Distribution. They are one of the most technologically advanced distributors in music. They distribute to more stores than any of the distributors around. They distribute, they give you 100% of your royalties. They only charge you $3 a month, and you have an instant option to get an advance from these guys. So if you're watching this and you want to be in the music business and you're trying to figure out how to get help, I'm here to tell you, go to twoloss.com and use the word GODS as your coupon code, and you get the first 3 months free. This is Ray Daniels, and I hope you're enjoying the conversation I'm having with my good brother right here, Benzino. But I wanted to stop and tell you about a new community I just started for anyone that has a dream of being in music, podcasting, media, film, TV, anything. It's called the Dreamers Community, and our members are known as the God Squad. So if you want to be a part of the God Squad, I would love for you to click the link below, join my community, and we're going to have a whole lot of activations, events, conversations, Zooms, one-on-ones, and we're gonna give you guys the access that you want to actually win in the space that you wanna win in. And it'll be a whole lot of people, a community of people that are just like you, that have one might have this answer, one might have that answer, and we'll all be together, we'll get together, and we're gonna all help each other get to our dreams. So click the link below, sign up for my community, and then when you do, send me a picture and say you're part of the God Squad, my brothers and sisters. So, my brother, I'm glad that we was able to address the Koi thing. To me, that was the absolute most important thing.
Yeah, that was,
The rest of the stuff is just stuff that has been floating around your name for years, and this is your opportunity to address it and clear it for good. So, there have been rumors about, I guess, you trying to interact with a transgender, and then there's also been gay rumors around you, and I just wanted you to kind of tell us what happened. And then you can confirm, deny, or say
I go to Kavari. You know Kavari.
I don't know Kavari.
One of the brilliant minds of our time and a real street guy. He came up Harlem, you know what I'm saying, with some real street
cats. Don Beaver Magazine.
Wrote a bunch of dope books, you know what I'm saying? But he worked for The Source Magazine and he worked for Hip Hop Weekly.
Mm.
He's been my friend for over 25 years.
Okay, dope.
And been one of my friends that, like, I go to sometimes for mentorship because he's so smart.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I was in LA, going through financial problems, grabbed a couple pounds of weed, flew him back to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a car at that point, at that time, so I needed somebody to kind of ride around, you know what I'm saying? Call Kavari and say, look, you know what I'm saying? No. He's old, got some, you know, I'm trying to get this money. Came, picked me up. We went to like, that was, you know, the Super 8 Motel. We had just came back. We had been to like maybe three of them because he stayed for the week and we kept checking into new hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had a double room, you know what I'm saying? At that point, I think we were supposed to check out and the guy was banging on the door, whatever, and he was at, and I was like, man, get the fuck out of here. Like, like, stop coming. Like, we're getting dressed. Yeah. We're hurrying up. I take my shower. Kavari takes a shower. You know, he don't walk around naked in the room. You know what I'm saying? He goes into the bathroom with his clothes.
Yeah.
Takes the shower, comes out fully dressed. I do the same thing. Like, I've been doing this for years. I've slept head to toe with guys in hotel rooms.
Yeah.
I didn't look at it as nothing crazy. I guess once it came out on the with the video, people like to take things and just try to, you know, make fun of me for certain situations. They know they could never ever on God's earth do that to me in front of me. So they'll make jokes on the internet. But that was like ridiculous. Like Kavari was my man. We stayed in the hotel. I was trapping. Police came. We had to think quick. When you see me walking out the room with the big ass suitcases, there's about 4 pounds of weed in there. I'm walking right past the police with it.
That's why the way the narrative came up, it made it feel like you were trying to get out the room.
Quick.
Like you was trying to get out the room.
Right. And then I was trying to like distract them by, oh man, we're black and you're we're trying to keep the conversation going. So he's like, hey buddy, what's in that bag right there?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know, so I'm trying to push the narrative, oh, you messing with us because we black.
Yeah.
You know, but if he would have went in the bag, there was like 4 or 5 pounds of weed in the bag.
Okay, so
that was that one.
The transgender scenario.
The transgender scenario, I was shooting a movie, you know Cricket.
Yep, of course, it's my brother.
So Cricket Cricket and, let me get my mind right. She's on Black Ink, Duchess.
Duchess, yep, his girl.
Come up with a movie, a script. I've been doing a bunch of movies. I got a bunch of movies on Tubi. I've been doing my Tubi thing. This particular movie was a comedy, and it was about a guy who was playing gay to win over this girl. He wasn't gay, but he was acting like he was gay to be her friend, to ultimately win her over. Mm-hmm. Great script.
Yeah.
I played the advertising agency's boss, who was straight.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't play a gay man. Yep. I played a straight man. And now come to think about it, like I would, when I think about Will Smith and playing that gay role that he played, remember the movie?
Yeah, of course. Six Degrees of Separation. Yep.
I would never play that.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I love acting, mm-hmm. I would draw the line at playing a gay man.
Because you probably can't pull it out of yourself.
Pun intended.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not pulling that out of yourself.
But by the way, I'm only saying that to you because I don't want the viewers to take that as the wrong way, because I've seen a lot of straight actors say, I don't think I can do that because I can't pull that.
I would say that I wouldn't do that because I wouldn't want to engage in any, even if it's acting, I wouldn't even...
It's
just not me. That's okay.
So I'm gonna ask flat out.
Let me tell the story.
Yeah, finish the story.
I got a role in the movie. We show up on set. I might have been on set 3 times to do my roles.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't. I had a decent role in it. I did really well. It was like a comedy. I'm usually playing tough guys, gangster roles, guns, drugs. This was something different. And I really wanted to try my chops, and I actually was proud at what I did, okay? Yep. It was a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Big up to Duchess and Cricket. The transvestite.
Transgender.
The transgender. What's the difference of a transvestite?
I don't know, but I know we used to use the word transvestite in the 90s, and I haven't heard it be used anymore in a long time, so I'm just assuming it's not supposed to be used.
All right.
But it's a great educational moment, I just haven't heard it.
And I'm trying to be respectful, so I won't use transformer or none of that. I'm going to use transgender.
Okay.
All right?
For sure.
So, the transgender, hollered at Cricket. I guess the transgender had a role in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the same role.
Hold on. Let's cut that out. I'm here to protect you. No transformer, I'm here to make you. This is.
Okay.
Nigga, this is.
Well, I said I'm not going to use it.
No, but you did. You said I'm not going to say transformer.
Oh.
So, yeah, I got to protect you for that.
Okay,
all right,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Transgender.
So basically, the transgender had a role in the movie, all right? The transgender had a role in the movie, but I wasn't in that scene.
Yes.
My scene had nothing to do with the transgender.
Yep.
Transgender went to Cricket and said, hey, do you think you can give me Benzino's number because I want to rent out his crab trap?
Mm, okay.
Right? Now, you know, Cricket gave the transgender my number.
Mm-hmm.
Transgender called me. I was mad at Cricket for that.
Mm-hmm. Because he just gave me a freely number, gave me a number for
To a transgender.
Yeah.
If he gave it to you, I probably wouldn't. You know what I'm saying?
That's because you know me.
But not even if I didn't know you. If he gave it to a man...
So let me ask you this: Why would you, for the sake of this?
Because I was uncomfortable. Because again, it took me a while. Like the gay thing came out in the '70s. It took me a while to understand that. I wasn't raised around gays, but as I learned more, as I matured, I realized these are amazing people.
Yeah.
They're beautiful people with beautiful spirits and souls. And you know, I can't judge. And it took me a while. And I'm glad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story. It was Pride Day. And I was at Atlantic Square with my youngest son, Taj,
mm-hmm. yep.
Corey's youngest brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember these gay men wanted to take a picture with me. Now, Taj was like, I said, Taj, can you take the picture? He was like, I said, Taj, take the picture. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, no, we're in the parking lot.
Yeah.
He takes the picture. We goes in, two more gay guys want to take a picture. Mm-hmm. This time, because as we're walking in, I'm trying to explain to them. I'm like, damn, man. Father moment. I said, I got to do this. I said, yeah. No, Taj. Just because people are different, that doesn't mean you should act a certain way. Educated. People are still nice people, and I'm stuttering. Anytime I start stuttering. I got a stuttering problem when it gets hard for me to explain shit. So I'm stuttering. I'm kind of fumbling it up. But as I'm talking to him, two other guys want to take a picture. This time, Taj says, I'll take it. Now, Taj had to be, he could have been more than like 9 years old.
Gotcha.
I'll take it. He took it.
Yeah.
And he took the picture. So, you know, I was proud of that moment. Transgenders, Ray, I haven't got used to transgenders. I haven't got used to looking at somebody that went through a whole operation that made them from a man to a woman. Mm-hmm. Or a woman to a man. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I watching the Kardashians, yeah. That was hard for me. Yeah. Like, it's something about the operation that I'm almost failing. Like, what the fuck? Like, I'm like, ah.
Like, even as, because just to kind of help, when I hear a man transitioning, I love and I'm attached to my penis. So it naturally goes like, damn, you want to cut it off? Oh my God. Like,
right.
So
I get it as a right, man. And you do this.
I get it.
We automatically,
I just did that by myself.
You just did it.
Man. Yeah.
Like, oh my goodness. God, yeah. Right. So it's a type of queasiness. I use the word queasy.
For sure.
It makes me queasy.
For sure.
Like I'm queasy.
Because it's a lack of honesty. We don't understand.
I'm queasy.
And if I'm being honest with you, I think the communication between the transgender community and the straight community needs to get better anyway, because there's a lack of understanding, and I just don't know how to, like, I don't even know how to address or talk about anything.
How do you, have you came in contact, communication with the transgender?
No.
Okay. So no, how do you feel about that?
I'm uncomfortable because I've been uncomfortable in my scenarios, because I get an example. I haven't had any encounters.
I'm about to say,
I've seen videos online of transgender men, I don't even know if you are a woman, are you a trans woman? So this is a transgender, but he was dressed like a woman, but he had a man voice. And he was like arguing with the guy, like, I'm gonna fuck you up if you don't call me sir. Call me sir. Oh no, I think he said, call me ma'am. Call me ma'am. I'm a ma'am, missus. And he was like, but you have a man voice. So for me, it's only uncomfortable because I don't take myself that serious. So it's really hard to be in a scenario.
But yeah. I'm saying, okay. Would you go to lunch with a transgender to talk business?
Yes.
You would?
But I would start off the meeting by saying,
you would be alone with the transgender having lunch, talking business. You would.
I don't mind. Yeah. I don't mind. Yeah, okay. But here's why though.
Okay. I wouldn't.
Because we're talking business.
I wouldn't.
We're talking business. And, but I would probably lead the meeting saying, like, it's kind of like if I'm talking to somebody, I'm like, yo, I don't know how to, like I just said, like, it's not like I'm being ignorant. I really don't know.
And but what would you say? And again,
I would ask them to educate me.
What you mean?
Like,
so before you would sit down and talk business, you'd ask me to educate you on what?
Because I want to address them the right way. I want to understand the right
way. All right. So I'm glad you said that. Yeah. Now, so look. A transgender calls me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how you doing? Boop, 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 boop. Okay. I'm trying to be the better Benzino.
Yep.
So now I'm trying at this point.
Yep.
I'm mad as fuck. I'm uncomfortable as a motherfucker.
Of course.
But I'm trying. And I don't have to look. It's not, you know, yeah. I don't have to look at the transgender. We're on the phone. All right. So, you know, everything was cool. I'm getting through it. He was asking about the crab trap. Said that we know the same people on Love and Hip. We have mutual friends on Love and Hip Hop. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, cool. I didn't get too much into that. Like, who?
Yeah.
I'm just like, great. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I was on Love and Hip Hop. You know what I'm saying? But I wasn't on it with you. So I don't, you know, whatever. So that conversation led to, well, I'm interested in renting out the Crab Trap. Started saying stuff about Tyler Perry and had people come over to the Crab Trap. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. The transgender had asked if we can go to lunch. And I said, no, I can't do that. And then I started explaining. I said, look. And I thought by my explanation that, again, I'm doing stuff that I've never done. So in my mind, I'm like, shit, man, like, I'm trying to be a better person. And I thought at that moment I was. And I'm explaining. I said, look, if I went to lunch with you and somebody seen us at lunch, they're automatically going to think that me and you are fucking around. I said, what would my father think? What would my friends think? I start going into a whole big thing to make them understand, look, I'm not a bad person, and I'm not trying to judge you. It's just that I don't feel like going through a whole bunch of bullshit by seeing being in public with you alone and people judging me. Because that's exactly like what the fuck they're going to do.
Yeah.
All right. It wasn't no big thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have another conversation. And at this point, it's like, you know, it's like, yo, look, if will you meet me at the crab trap? I'll do that. Because I was going to call my couple, you know, I had partners in the crab trap. Mm-hmm. And we all go up there and we can all talk. But at that point, it was like, you know, something just was funny. Now, I didn't know. I just remember when I was with Althea, the transgender had texted me.
Mm.
Althea, it wasn't no crazy something. Hey, I want to talk, you know, some business something. Althea seen it and tried to make a big thing out of it. Oh my God, yeah, fuck, I want a transgender. I'm like, huh?
What?
Like, well, she tried to make it a big thing a couple of years ago. It never stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 2 years later, the transgender comes back and starts putting out that I take my conversation.
Oh, wow.
I mean, okay. Take the conversation. Do I say he or she? I want to address it right.
I think I would just say, I don't know, transgender.
All right. The transgender tapes my conversation. It's anybody with a brain can hear it's edited. You know you can go inside of a studio and edit shit. I've edited shit.
Yeah.
I've edited skits, conversations, and everything. I can make I could take your thing and go in there and edit some shit to where it's a sentence and you never even said it. I could hear that the shit was edited. Yeah. Now the transgender's playing with me at this point.
So what was it edited to say?
I mean, you could hear me saying no. Like, what would people think? My father.
Oh, yeah, like, I remember.
Right,
that. Yep.
Right, but I'm explaining why I can't go out to lunch. Not, I'm hiding you or we're fucking or none of that. But I see what the transgender was trying to do. The transgender's trying to, I don't know if it's a money grab, because the transgender never asked for money, because it was, I never met the transgender in person. Why are you smiling, Ray?
Because, you know why? Because I understand.
That is, Ray, that is not funny.
No.
Because
no,
I should, no, that was laughing. That was one of the worst things, like, that was actually traumatic for me. I I don't have dreams about it, but it's like, I'm sitting back and I'm like, because ultimately, 50 Cent picked it up and everybody's making jokes. But ultimately, the transgender finally comes out after I go into my tirade, like, look, I'm tired of this shit. I said, if I see transgender, like, it's gone. I start saying how people are out here killing transgenders because they're fooling them.
Yes.
People need to take this shit serious because nobody wants that on their name. And you playing with my name. So the transgender finally does an interview. And says that no, we didn't even meet.
Yeah.
After all that.
Yeah.
After the.
That's why I'm smiling because it is society. Today's society, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And.
Well, no. What do you mean, damned if you don't?
No, I'm saying like that's what I'm about to say. So even if it's, you could have easily just said no, I'm not interested in going to lunch with you, but you trying to be. Hey, listen, let me tell you why.
Explain why. Just what you said.
Yeah, but
remember, you was like, if you went out, and I'm glad you said that, because that was me. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm trying to be cool. Like, at the end of the day, I'm doing the movie with Cricket. You're in the movie. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I've never, that was the most I've ever even communicated with a transgender person. I remember I was in the club, and I took a picture. My folks was like, yo, you know that was a transgender? I was like, huh? I was like, no, I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. You know what I'm saying? Now, I probably still would have took the picture.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a disrespectful person, Ray.
Yeah.
But for the transgender to come back with it 2 years after Althea already, and then it didn't make no traction, come and get... So now the transgender does a whole video and a rap song about me in a lingerie, 50 posters it. And I'm like... Yeah. What the fuck is going on with our world, bro?
So do you and 50, have you ever had problems?
I mean, because of the, I mean, that was an issue with him trying to say I was messing with the trans. He was trying to play, you know, he erased everything, but he was really trying to joke with him. I'm like, that's nothing to be joking about, bro.
Exactly.
I'm not with none of that shit. Like, I don't, again, and then you have to defend yourself. Now, in defending yourself, it's like you're disrespecting the LGBTQ community, and that just wasn't the case. Now, what I did find out was, throughout that ordeal, is that the LGBTQ isn't one. That's what I found out. All the letters are jumbled up together, but it's not like they're all like the Marvel, you know, Captain America, they're all together. They don't come fight villains together. The transgender community's over here, the gay community's over here, the lesbians are over there. Everybody's doing their own thing, okay? It gets confusing, But I looked at it as, you know, the transgenders, there was gay men that came up to me and said, Benzino, it's wrong for what they try to do to you. We support you. We know you're not gay. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, damn, man, God bless you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it makes me, because I don't want nobody to feel a certain, one thing that my mother blessed me with is a conscience. Like, and that goes for everybody. I don't want anybody to think that I'm a bully or anybody think that I don't like them because they're gay. I have a lot of gay friends, man. I got a lot of gay, I'm so in tune with myself where I can go out to dinner with a gay man and not worry about that.
Yeah.
Transgender, I just haven't crossed that threshold yet because it's still, like you said, like,
I think it's a little tricky for us today. Because I think the only way we get better is like our conversation with Koi. It's like, you can see it one way, but let me give you another side. And I feel like the only way the relationships are going to get better is if we're able to have real conversations to understand. Right. Because I personally haven't been around a transgender because I just haven't had opportunity. But if I did, like, I have a gay artist signed to me, Kane the Love Child. And man, we talk about his community, how, because I'm a businessman. I want to help him win. Let me help him. But
gay is normal.
Yeah, I don't mind. Well, I think
transgender is as normal as, like,
it's
like,
new.
It's new. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's new.
You know what I'm saying?
It's in the last 10 years, it's become.
It's new, and I haven't, you know, and at the end of the day, there are transgenders that you probably wouldn't even know they're a woman unless they go up in the thing and then pull their shit out and you're sitting there like.
But you know, I'm going to tell you something funny, though. I'm going to tell you a funny story.
And then now what happens? Everybody in the room gotta die at that point. Like, what else can you do? You think this is a woman, you go into a room, now I feel bad because there was a young college student that got fooled, killed a transgender, he's in jail for life. Like, in jail for life.
Yeah.
Like,
So
there was a college student that ended up killing a transgender just for that. And that's happened a lot of times.
Yeah.
To where you fooled them to the point where you're going in there and not, I mean, if you didn't get past the voice, like, hey, what's up, bro? If you're not getting past that, like, if she has a voice to where, or the transgender has a voice to be like, it fools you all the way. Now you're in the room with them and then they pulling out, then they got meat, and what are you going to sit there and do? You're going to be in shock. You're going to be looking at, because if you're a straight man, you're going to look at yourself like, bro, that's the worst thing ever. And if somebody's going to kill for that, what is that telling you that they're going through internally?
Yeah.
So that's what I was going through.
Yeah.
Like, for the transgender to even try to play with me like that, mm-hmm. and then 50 jump on, that was just unfortunate, you know, and you know, the Cavario thing was just ridiculous. So these things are happening at the same time, and I'm like, is this a conspiracy against, okay, we couldn't get him no other way. We know that he fucks with a lot of women,
yep.
and a lot of women like him.
Yep.
We've seen it over the years. So let's do this. Let's try to emasculate him. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think so before we go there, I want to ask you. So I'm asking you straight up. Are you into transgenders and are you gay?
Like I've never in my life wanted to suck a man's dick in my life.
I've
never been attracted to a man's ass.
No, Zeno, we're going to do this easier. Yes or no? Because I'm going to say, because I understand it. I'm just like, because let me tell you why. Because
I've never ever in my life ever find men attractive. I've never ever in my life have been in a room, have been anywhere near a transgender.
Okay.
Now, let alone, now, I don't want people thinking that I'm closed-minded. At the end of the day, we're all God's people. But again, gay men, I have gay friends that I love, that I could say I love.
Me too.
All right? Transgenders, I haven't reached it yet.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, then you could. And I don't think nobody can get offended.
You like transgenders, Ray?
I'm not gay. All.
No.
I'm saying.
But do you look at a transgender and be like, hey, shit, how do you look at
we
that?
We have one in our family.
Okay, are you? I'm just saying.
And I don't know how to interact because I know you as a boy, and I don't know.
I'm not talking about that. Have you been to a club and just looked at the trend like, man, that motherfucker look good?
No way.
Huh?
Nah, I'm not into it.
That's why our names are Ray. Well, I'm Ray too. I'm Ray. So it's the same.
Say no. Okay, cool. So we go. So now we get that up. Let's go there. So I want
to. And by the way, I've dated some amazing, beautiful women and celebrities. I got a long list You know, people say what they want to Zeno, but if they seen my list, oh yeah, it's yeah, all. Yeah.
So I'm gonna tell you something. I never. This is how. By the way, we wrap that up. I want to go to something
else. Yeah, is that over?
Is that done? Because you didn't say yes. People gonna be like,
fuck no.
Okay,
fuck
I,
no.
I'm asking. I got you. Hold on. Let me do it.
So listen.
So Benzino, I'm gonna ask yes or no. It just
no.
Flat out, like we in court.
Never.
Are you gay? Yes or no.
Am I gay?
Yes or no. Just yes or no. Yes or no. Listen, we gotta go to other stuff. I just need to ask yes or no.
I'm not gay. Man.
Okay. No. So no.
No.
Are you in a transgender?
No.
Have you ever been with a transgender?
No.
Okay.
I I'll take 50 lie detector tests.
Okay, perfect. We ain't gonna do that to you. So I'm gonna tell you how I heard your name for the first time. I was in school, and
not from a transgender. No.
No.
I'm just trying to see what.
I'm about to segue into something that you know. So the first time I heard your name was Paul Pierce was stabbed up. In Boston, and I remember my OGs was like, he was fucking with some gangsters, da da da, and that was the first time I heard Benzino. Obviously, this is not saying anything right or wrong. This is just saying that's the first time I heard it. That's the first time I heard your name. Like, damn. So it was like you was already like the villain in my mind, but then as I got to see you, I was like, oh, that's a cool nigga.
Let me put back up.
What happened when the Paul Pierce situation?
What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. As a matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com, and we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Paul Pierce.
When you lean back, make sure your shirt is not open when you lean back.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what happened with Paul Pierce?
Okay.
Because
very unfortunate situation.
Yes.
First of all, and I'll for the record, I followed his career at Kansas. When we drafted him number one, I knew we was gonna be the shit.
Mm-hmm.
I was having a major big Celtics fan.
Gotcha.
Larry Bird fan.
Yes.
I mean, you know. I mean, no.
Y'all Celtics fans
huge.
Are different. Boston fans
huge.
Is that whole is
Red
is
Sox,
different.
Bruins, Celtics, Phillies. Patriots. No. That's
no. Philly, I'm not. No. I was gonna say
Red
Patriots,
Sox,
yeah, Patriots,
Bruins,
Tom Brady.
Celtics, Patriots. That is it. That's
life.
That's it. It's life for us in Boston.
Yep.
All right. When the Paul Pierce thing was, I had did this thing called the Wise Guys, where I went and grabbed a gang member from every part of town, every project, put them together. I got them a distribution deal from Def Jam.
Okay.
Put some money in their pocket and even brought the crime rate down.
Mm.
Because these been guys that been projects that been warring for years. I brought the crime rate down from maybe 100 to like 30 murders that year.
Oh, wow.
No, it was a major thing. They gave Boston a lot of money for that. I never got the credit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do it for the credit. I just, you know, I figured this is how I could give back.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So we put the album out. We're doing a release party downtown Boston.
Yep.
So we're downtown at the club, and it's popping. A lot of girls, everything, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, Boston and me, when it comes to clubs, man, we've been fighting in clubs all our life.
Yeah.
That's like been a major coming up, fighting in clubs. It's been, you know, we've lost a few guys in clubs fighting. So it was almost like a regular thing. Sports players prior to that had already been that. Like Mo Vaughn, baseball player for the Red Sox, had got crashed in the head with a ashtray. Lawyer Malloy, I remember a guy jumped in his limo, pulled a gun because lawyers boned his baby's mom. Mm. I mean, a lot of times these athletes come into town and they're sleeping with women in the hood, and they have no idea who these women are and who they're attached to.
Okay.
You know, and over the years I've watched that. And you know, Boston is just like any other town. You come in there. These guys don't have too much. The Lloyd Malloy situation I remember vividly because it was my man. I don't want to say his name, but he was really upset because Lloyd was fucking around with his baby mom.
Mm-hmm.
Really upset.
Yep.
Caught him one time in his limousine out the club. Jumped in it, whipped the thing out, and gave him the ultimatum: stay away from my baby's mom.
Yeah.
The thing with Mo Vaughn, same situation. The guy that hit him in the head, Mo was...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Mo was fucking his girl.
Okay.
All right. The situation, Paul ended up same shit over a woman.
He was messing with somebody.
There was a bunch of Celtics in there because they was taller than everybody.
Yeah.
So we probably didn't know who they was, but niggas is tall. So we didn't, at that point, we never had really a star that stood out like, oh shit, we just didn't know who the fuck these dudes was. But we knew they was tall, they played for the Celtics. The teams was horrible at that point. So when Paul had came in and, you know, me and my man Hurst standing by the pool tables, the fight starts. We seen some, you know. So we know fighting. I'm watching dudes jump out the woodwork. I see knives. I'm just looking. Me and Hurst is like, damn, look at these niggas going off.
Yeah.
So we watching the whole thing. Now, I didn't know it was Paul. I just remember a dude, it was one dude, and they was jumping on him.
Yep.
And they was giving him the business, but the dude was fighting back. I can give, you know, Paul was trying to still throw blows, although dudes was jumping. Now, whoever he came with, they did not jump in. They didn't fight. They really left him for dead.
Mm.
If I would have known it was Paul beefing on my mother, on Mary Scott, whom I love very dearly, I would have went over there and I would have broke that shit up.
Mm.
I would have made it a point to get over there to get him the fuck out of there. And I knew everybody and I had the power to do that.
Yeah.
I had the influence to do that.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? At one point, the lights came on and he was a bloody mess, and then there was one more blow that was given to him and then he was out. That's when it was time to go. Everybody got the fuck out. So as I'm leaving, I just remember there was two dudes. I knew who they are now. Tony Petit, the center,
yep,
and his brother.
Yep.
And I just remember, I'm walking past him, and then he was like, yo, that was Benzino and Made Men that did that. He's saying this right next to me. Mm. Big, tall motherfucker saying my name right next to me. Yeah. I heard him very clear. I'm walking to my, I'm running to my car.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting the fuck out of
yeah.
here. So I bounced to New York immediately the next morning.
Yeah.
I'm getting the fuck out of here. This shit is bad.
Yeah.
You know, this was the savior.
Yeah.
See, one thing about white people in Boston, you know, they don't like niggas. But if you kicking that ball or dunking that ball or hitting that bat, they loving you.
Yeah.
If you're the one that's taking the team to the promised land.
Yeah.
Paul was the number one pick.
Yeah.
We in New York. They're like, we got to come back home. My man Hurst now. I'm a Hurst. Big dude.
Yeah.
They went to Paul, and they're telling Paul to pick me out the lineup. They're like, it's him. Paul's like, he can hardly talk. He's damn near dead at this point. Mm-hmm. Damn near dead. He's punctured up bad.
Yeah. He had punctured the lung or something like that.
Oh, man, they fucked him up. Yeah. So they're pointing him on in the hospital bed to it's me. They're showing him a bit different pictures.
Yeah.
But he won't identify me.
Yeah.
He identified Hurst. Now, Hurst is over there standing with me the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
My man Trev and Roscoe. So it ended up like, and I was disappointed. Paul had did, I seen him do a, he did the Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson's podcast. Yeah. And the way Paul was explaining it, like, to me, you don't want to, like, glorify it or try to, you know, like, yeah, I took those or, yeah. You really want to kind of tell the truth of what happened. Because at this point, guys are doing hundreds of years in jail, you know.
Yeah.
You know, dudes got 30 and 20 years for that.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And it was really over him being disrespectful to my man's girl or my man's cousin, mm-hmm, or whoever was with my man that, mm-hmm, night. It was Paul, like, grabbing up on her and being disrespectful. See, Paul came from Inglewood, so Paul wasn't like this quiet, yeah. You know, Paul was ill with it.
Yeah, he's still a shit talker. He was never ill afraid.
With,
yeah.
Ill with it. So, you know, when it happened, that's what happened. There was no other reason. Nobody tried to rush him. Mm-hmm. It wasn't no having nothing to do with no jewelry, no money. He was disrespectful to the woman that was with my man, and that's what happened.
Mm.
Now, the next day we had to come to the airport because Hurst had to turn himself in. They wanted to question me. They met us right there, right? They cuffed me up at the airport. We was cuffed up. We was on the papers. Oh, it was bad because at this point, you know, we didn't know if he was going to die or not. You know what I'm saying? Because they wasn't saying nothing. So we hurry up and get on it and do a press conference because they're saying Made Men. The group in the Made Men, who was the Made Men, had nothing to do with it. They wasn't even there.
Yeah.
I was the only one there from the Made Men. This was the wise guys.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, that's who got into the beef with them. And then all the guys with me, they had seen me bring on the Source Awards. Like, these dudes was all my guys. They was my guys. You know what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean like I commissioned.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm sitting by the pool table watching this thing like, look at these niggas.
Yeah.
Look at this. They can't. Yeah. We can't do nothing. Like,
yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? I didn't know it was Paul. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because when I'm looking at Paul on TV, it didn't look like the guy fighting. Once I found out the next day, all hell broke loose. And then I ended up having to pay like $100,000. They found Hurst. We took it to trial for Hurst.
Mm-hmm.
They found Hurst not guilty. Thank God. Because Hurst had nothing to do with it.
He was standing.
Hurst was the one guy standing over there with me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hurst was standing. Me and Hurst are watching the whole thing.
Yeah.
But he picked Hurst out the lineup.
Mm.
And he picked the rest of them. And, you know, Roscoe got like, you know, man, you know, like 20 years behind him.
Damn.
You know, day for day, Trev got a bunch of years. Like, you know, Hurst could have, you know what I'm saying, got like years for something he didn't do. And it was all over. And I want athletes to know this. Just really take in consideration when you're sleeping with these women in these cities that you know nothing about who they're attached to.
Yeah.
Take that in consideration because that's a dangerous game to play.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. Like, I don't know how Paul could paint the picture, but...
Have you and him ever talked about it?
You know, I remember a couple of things. I remember one time this chick told me he was in a limousine. And my name got brought up, and he flipped out. Got out the car, took his shirt off, and was going crazy. He was with a bunch of chicks. That's what she told me.
Okay.
I just take that for a grain of salt. Okay. He did see me at a game. I went to a Celtics game in Miami, and he was like, "What up?" He, like, they was in their thing, and he said, "What up?"
Yeah.
But I don't know how he felt. Yeah. What I do know is the band came back, and we was 1 second away from going to the championship. You know what I'm saying? With him and Antoine Walker. Yep. Indiana had beat us that year, but we was one game and 1 second away. But the story was so great that he would get punctured up like that and then come back and damn near take. I mean, it made him look like a god.
Yeah.
But my guys suffered in jail over something that he should have been respectful for in the first place. And I never got to say this, but I'm saying it now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Paul should have never, ever put himself in that position.
Yeah.
Because again, you know, at the end of the day, he thrived from that. Though he got injured, so I'm not minimizing that, but my guys did many years behind him being disrespectful to one of their girls.
That's
what happened. That's a fact.
Okay, so we got that out the way. So I got to ask a question. What was going on that someone actually shoots a man at his mother's funeral?
Ooh, man.
Like, what was going on where somebody shot you? Like, what was the scenario? Like, what happened?
Well, you know, everybody gets shot in Boston. That's number one. Like, that was my third time. That was my third time being shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, it's the truth. You know, everybody, when you look, everybody got those.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, Boston is a rough fucking place to survive and grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, most of the guys my age, because once my guys either got wiped out by doing drugs or by getting murdered, I would have to go hang with guys 5, 6, 7 years younger than me because my whole guys are gone.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So surviving Boston for me was, I mean, it really was hard. I mean, murders. We're talking 10, 15-mile radius of a city that averaged 100-something murders a year. And, you know, if you had beef with somebody, you know exactly where they're at, and someone's getting shot.
Mm.
And it's just wars. I was in wars with people on a regular basis. This was my regular life.
Yeah.
Getting shot at, shooting niggas, selling drugs, going to wakes to the point where I couldn't even go to wakes no more.
Yeah.
I couldn't even do it anymore. I couldn't even look at people lying there like that anymore. Like, so, you know, the thing with that night was, the crazy thing was I was shooting Love and Hip Hop, number one.
Mm.
We're shooting Love and Hip Hop. Me and Althea had got together. At this point, it looks like people are liking me again. People, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They're cheering for us to get married, and it's love, and everything's beautiful. And then I remember, you know, my mom, so I'm gonna get this kind of deep. All right.
Okay.
So my sisters, I had two sisters on my mom's side.
Mm-hmm. Had or have?
Have.
Okay.
Right. One of them was a doctor, the other one was a veterinarian, you know, very smart. They were older. Their father was from Alabama, black guy. And from the stories was he used to beat up my mother a lot.
Mm.
You know, I wasn't in the picture yet. My father, when I was of age, told me the stories. So he ended up getting killed.
The father from Alabama. Okay.
Got thrown out a window, shot up.
Oh, shit.
Up.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. In comes my father. In comes Schnapps.
Yep.
Okay.
That's your dad's name, Schnapps?
Schnapps, as we call him, Schnapps.
Schnapps. That sounds like a Boston Schnapps name, boys.
Yeah, it was Schnapps. You know, he didn't want to be called Pops.
Yeah.
So we called him Schnapps.
Gotcha. Okay.
So when you look at that scenario, now mind you, when I didn't have any older brothers, I'm growing up with my older sisters. So they're like my older brothers too.
Yeah.
And they, you know, and I remember my sisters being into, like, I started listening to Bob Marley because of my sister.
Mm.
Like, I looked up to my sisters. My sisters was black.
Yeah.
They were black women.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I admired them and I looked up to them. They was both, they both went to college. You know what I'm saying? My father wasn't around too much because he was locked up all the time. But the relationship that I seen with them, it looked like they was probably scared of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of, there was a comfortableness, but I didn't know about the situation with their father. I didn't know any of that. My sister had her first child, which is my first nephew.
Got you.
It's my first nephew.
Okay.
I'm proud. I'm an uncle at this point. Like, whoa, you know. As he grows up, he wants to follow my footsteps and be a DJ and everything. And I'm, and at this, once I get the sauce, now at this point, I'm cutting you take this 50,000, you take this 100,000, here Maureen, here Guy, here, you know, he's my nephew. I'm proud to have a nephew. And he, you know, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
His father's Jamaican.
Yeah.
As time goes, he's named after their father, Guy.
Gotcha.
Right. So as time goes on, my mother starts getting sick, and my sister, you know, we go half on buying a house. All right, I put the money in for my mother, and the sister bought it, and everybody's living together. It was mm-hmm. a big house. Mm-hmm. Everyone's happy. Mm-hmm. I'm happy because I feel like I did something well for my mom.
For sure.
I bought her a Benz. She didn't like to drive. You know what I'm saying? Just stayed in the driveway. But then she started getting sick to where she started getting what is it when you can't, like, not Alzheimer's, but dementia.
Okay.
She starts getting dementia. It was hard on me. But I'm living in New York. I'm living in my, I'm back and forth. So my sister has to take care of her, right? So, you know, the house was a big house. But my mother, they got my mother on the third floor, which is like an attic apartment that was done over. But she got to climb stairs. And I'm like, this just doesn't healthy for her. And I just, you know, we just didn't agree on that. And I just was like, I don't think she should be climbing fucking stairs.
Yeah.
You know, so I go get her own house in Milton.
Okay.
A nice big house.
Yeah.
Her own shit. So where she ain't gonna climb no stairs.
What'd you do with the other house?
They kept it.
Okay.
So that's y'all's house now.
Yeah.
All right?
That's good. That's good. That's noble.
I don't have no names or nothing. My name ain't on it or nothing. Yeah. Over the years, the house done bloomed up about 600,000, 700,000. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So they made money off the house.
Mm-hmm.
All right? They're taking loans out on the house.
Yep.
So now my mother really can't take care to herself. So they go and get her out of this house. They ended up selling that house. I don't know what happened to the money. There's things that's going on that I'm not there, that my mother caught the stroke. They didn't want my father in the hospital. So more things are going on. And I'm just, at this point, I'm just like, man, this ain't, you know, again, like this, like how I told you with Coy, I'm just like, man, why is this happening? Because it was nothing but love. Like, I don't understand this. And I'm giving people hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, what is the problem right now? And it just seemed like, my mother gets back over there. They put her back on the third floor. And you know, now it's to the point where it's like, okay. It's like something's going on. Like, y'all are taking money. Like, there's money. Like, why y'all, like, in my mind, why y'all treat my mother like this?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm upset about it. And I think, you know, Guy knew, like, Guy wasn't a street guy. He wasn't a street kid. He never had a record. He ended up having licenses for, like, he has all these guns. I don't even know. So I think Guy must have thought that I was upset and maybe I was going to make a move on him. I don't really don't know. We seen each other one time. Him and my father seen each other and they had words. Mm-hmm. Now when that happened, that's when it's like, hold up.
That's your father, but that's not up. That's his stepfather. That's his step-grand.
Yeah, that's Schnapps. And you know, he don't understand. Schnapps will wipe him out. Like Schnapps is, you know, he's, that's what, you know, gang, like that mafia, that's what he is. So I just remember the thing was to go, my mother had passed. I was bringing Althea up to Boston. We went to Boston, we stayed in the hotel. I decided that I'm gonna go to the wake by myself. I don't want them around, I don't want nobody around, and I don't even wanna open the casket. I don't even wanna see my mother dead, because at this point it's just too much going through my head, too much crazy shit. And I just want, you know, I sat there a couple of hours with her and I prayed, I talked to her. I didn't want to see her like that. And I had a problem with seeing dead people. I seen too many dead people and I just didn't want to see them like that, you know, see her like that. So I went back to the hotel. The next day, I made a decision. I'm not going to the funeral. I'm not going to go. Told out there, we going back to New York. I'm getting out of here. Something ain't right. Just don't feel right.
Yeah.
So the next day, as I'm getting ready to leave, Stevie pops like, yo, I'm here in Boston. What do you mean you're here in Boston? Stevie went to was at the church for the funeral. Now that's in Plymouth, Massachusetts. It's an hour away from Boston. And, you know, my mother's Cape Verdean and all the Cape Verdeans out in Plymouth and Carver and out there in Cape Cod. So he's like, I'm like, yo, he's like, I'm way out here, man. I'm saying, look, I'm gonna come pick you up.
Yeah.
I told out there, look, I'm gonna go pick Stevie up. You wait here, I'm gonna go pick him up. I'm going down Route 3, broad daylight, 1 o'clock. Lo and behold, I see a funeral procession. First thing in my mind is, this my mom's?
Yeah.
So I'm driving past it, you start driving past the car, and I'm just looking And it's a bunch of Cape. I'm like, this got to be a family. Sure. And I get to the front of it. There's the two hearses. And then there's, you know, there's Guy's car. And I think Maureen. All I heard was pop, 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 pop. Right? So I got hit. You know what I'm saying? So automatically I'm hit. So I'm driving. There's only two lanes. So I'm like, oh shit. So the first thing I did was take a deep breath in my chest. Because I knew if I got hit in my chest, I'm like, it's not going to be good. Now I felt, I got hit three times. Shoulder, my back, and two of my shoulder and one in my back.
Was it, was the adrenaline pumping so hard that you didn't realize you were shot?
Well, no, I knew I was shot because I was feeling them. And then I didn't see that. Like, I mean, it was
chaos.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so I, you know, I fishtailed, turned around, I'm going against the traffic, and I start getting dizzy, so I pulled over, jumped out the car, started running. I run towards the hearse, because I'm thinking, you know, not going to shoot me at the hearse. He's still shooting.
Yeah.
He's dumping. It's broad daylight.
Wow.
And I just remember seeing a finger going down the lock. It was one of them old locks. Just a finger going down. I couldn't even see who did it. So then I'm running to the next car. I'm trying to finally get into a car. I finally get into my two cousins' car, my Auntie Geneva's kids. And I jump in and I'm just like, yo, go across the median. At this point, I'm just losing blood like crazy. I'm not passing out. They're screaming. I'm like, you got to go across the median.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He's going to kill me. You got to go across the median.
Because he's still trying to get you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they finally get across the median. We drive to the first exit. We're far away from the next exit. When we get to the exit, it's raining. Police pull over, pull me out the car, strip me butt naked, dick out and everything. I'm bleeding like a motherfucker. They're looking for a gun. Now, police have been trying to get me in Boston for a long time.
Mm.
So he called when he shot me and said, I just shot a man that pulled a gun on me. That's what he did. He called them. You know, it said my name, Benzino. My nephew called and said, because he had licenses for the gun and everything.
Gotcha.
So he already called. There's already witnesses. There's cars passing and in the cars. I mean, there's a big pileup on the, you know what I'm saying? So he already told them that I had a gun, which I didn't.
Yep.
I didn't have a gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I should have.
Yeah.
I'm always strapped.
Yeah.
I didn't have a gun. He called, said I had a gun. By the time the ambulance came, they put me in. The police was like, look, we'll take, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, look, Guy Scott said that you, I said, no, I didn't have a gun. I said, he shot me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, this was the police report.
Yeah.
This is the police. As time goes on, you know what I'm saying? We don't snitch. I know how the system works. You got to go to a grand jury. Then you got to go inside the court and point them out. We get to the grand jury. I don't know who shot me. But you said that. I said, I don't know what I said. I was freaking out.
Yeah.
I don't know who shot me. Yeah. I said, I went to the front of the procession. There was gunshots. And I just got the fuck up out of it.
Yeah.
So I told the grand jury I didn't know. They told me if I didn't come to court, they was going to hold me in contempt. They was going to give me 6 months. Right? If I didn't come to court. Because I said I wasn't coming to court. I went to the grand jury. My lawyer said, you don't have to come to court. If you don't come to court, we'll give him 6 months contempt.
Mm-hmm.
Give me six. So I had to go to the court. Went to the court. He was in the room. Do you see? I had to take the stand. Do you see anybody in the shot? No, I don't. I don't see anybody. That was it. And I got the fuck out of there.
Mm.
Now, he got 2 years. But he got 18 months. But the 18 months was because you shot me on a crowded highway in broad daylight and you admitted to it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If I would have told on him, he would have got 30 years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, it's my nephew. I've nothing but loved him. Nothing but gave him money. Nothing but protected him because he wasn't a street kid.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everybody knew not to fuck with him. You know what I'm saying? Because he was a big kid, but like a gentle giant.
Yeah.
And it was just over some shit that money had fucked up. Now, let's say that Althea would have took a ride with me, she would have been in the passenger seat.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, God does things for reasons. And, you know, of course, Mona and them want to film it. Mona's like, oh, man. Mona says it's a gift from the reality gods. I'm like, I got shot. You know, that shit was crazy. That's what she said. So, the crazy shit was, this was the even crazier shit. Now, my arm was totally, I couldn't even lift a 2-pound weight. My arm was fucked up. Mona and them was like, come on, we got to reenact you going to the hospital when you got shot. So we need you holding your bag and acting like you're going to the hospital. I can't even lift my fucking shit. Was crazy, bro. You know, it was nuts. It was nuts. I couldn't even lift my arm. If you look in the, if you go look back, they got the bag kind of held up on my arm in a way where I'm trying to catch, like they're trying to reenact the thing. The whole situation was just nuts, and that, it was yeah, true story.
So where's your nephew now?
I mean, he's out. He's out.
Are y'all cool?
No, I mean we're not cool. But you know, at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, you gotta move past shit, right? Some things you gotta move past. And you know, I remember being at the hospital. More of them wanted to shoot at the hospital. I had a connection with the hospital, the guy that ran the hospital. Mm-hmm. So we got the cameras in, and I guess it made for good TV. But when I look back at it, it's just amazing the shit, you know, that you go through. You know,
it was what I'm saying? It was some real life shit that would turn into entertainment. Like, nigga, that, I was almost
they
died.
Turned it. They turned. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Now with me, I didn't take it. So I lost over 2 pints of blood. I was fucked up. They had to stitch me up. I still got bullets in me that they didn't take out. But it was a gift from the reality gods.
Okay, so
do it again.
So let's reenact. I'm surprised they reenact the shit. But hold on, let's, so that's
right.
So what happened with Love and Hip Hop behind the scenes? Like, what happened with Love and Hip Hop? Like, what were the things?
So the thing with Love and Hip Hop was this: when I guess, you know, for some reason they didn't really like Althea.
Okay.
Her and Stevie had already did what they did.
Mm-hmm.
It was found out that her and Nico had messed around, but Ray, I fell for her.
Mm-hmm.
I fell in love with her. I didn't care that she had messed with Stevie. I didn't care she messed with Nico. My thing is, Stevie, if you my friend, she's with me now.
Yeah.
And that got to be respected.
Sure.
By everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't give a fuck. I love her now. I don't give a fuck who she fucked, who she sucked. I love her now.
Yep.
And if y'all disrespect me, there's going to be major problems. Or her.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be major problems. I noticed that Mona and Stephanie didn't like Althea.
Mm-hmm.
They was like, no, we don't want you. We really want you back with Carly. I'm like, I don't want to be back with Carly.
Mm.
I want to be with who I want to be with.
Mm.
And I want to bring her on this season.
Yeah.
They wasn't with it. And I said, well, then I'm not going to come on the season.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, well, hold on now. So we got her on the season.
Mm-hmm.
As we're going, I see now it was set up for us to fail. They was going to set up. They kind of turned Stevie and Jocelyn against us. You know what I'm saying? Because Mona and them kind of set that up, the storyline, to where it was that we would fail. You know, I felt like I proposed to her on the Ferris wheel. It was beautiful. I was actually in love with somebody. This is probably like the first time that I could really be like, yo, I'm in, like, the Carly thing, I wasn't in love with Carly like that. I was in love with the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But sure. Althea, I actually fell in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a new feeling for me, and I liked the feeling. And I didn't give a fuck about what anybody thought. She's my girl and I love her and I'm gonna make it work. And I was sincere about that. I stopped messing with any girls. I proposed to her. I wanted to marry her. I still had a couple of $100,000 in my little kitty and I bet the whole bank on it.
Ooh.
Everything.
Yeah.
I gave it. Shit, I was buying Chanel bags. I never bought a chick a Chanel bag before. Shit, I'm buying chicks bags for $2,500. Chanel's was $6,000. I'm like, damn.
$8,000, $6,000.
Yeah, like, so, I didn't buy a Birkin. I never, you know what I'm saying?
I bought a few Chanels.
I got her diamonds. You know what I mean? I showered her. I courted her.
Yeah.
This was it. And then towards the end, at the reunion, I believe that, first of all, you know, me and Stevie, but I was disappointed in that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you didn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to have Jocelyn attack.
Oh, I didn't.
Well, Jocelyn attacked Althea at the reunion.
Oh, okay, got you.
It all hell broke loose.
Got you.
I felt like that was premeditated by Mona and them. I thought that they wanted to do that to her.
So let me ask you this: How are they able to create storylines on Love and Hip Hop? Like, how does that?
They give you beats. See, the good thing about me when I was on there, they didn't have to create storylines because all that shit, everything you've seen with me, the hot tub scenes, the Carlys, everything was, that's what I, what people say, yo, is that shit real? I'm like, my shit was, I can't speak for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have to do too much producing with me.
Yeah.
Like, my shit was just, it just, everything what it was. And I guess I was a character and I wasn't going on there trying to mess with a whole bunch of girls. I wasn't doing what Stevie was doing. I wasn't doing what Scrappy was doing with 2 and 3 girls. I went on there, I love her, and that's all I want to mess with. They couldn't get me to, you know, their thing is mess with 3 girls so you can look bad. Yeah. I wasn't in that space. I'm like, no, I love her, and I'm gonna. I was the first one. I really was the first one to tongue kiss chick. I like when I tongue kiss Carly, they couldn't believe it. I, like when Carly got there, I made Carly this big lobster dinner at the house. Mm-hmm. I was really the only one with a big mansion at that time in Smyrna. It was a little mini mansion. Yeah. You know what I'm saying, with the heated pool.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying, I had the 745. Yeah. Like I'm just getting on the scene.
Yeah.
You know, so she comes in, I just tongue her down like ooh. Like nobody's tonguing nobody down in Love and Hip Hop because the men feel like they too cool.
Yeah,
I'm too cool for that. I'm not gonna fall in love. I'm like, nah. It's cool to fall in love. It's cool to. I gave her a book. Yeah. Like I was with all that romantic shit because, shit, I always wanted to do that.
Yeah.
I watch TV. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Yeah, I watch movies. I'm like, that could be me. I could do that shit. I don't got to be what these niggas is doing.
Yeah.
That's easy. I do that anyways.
Yeah.
But on TV, I'm not going to give the world that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give the world me. Because I wasn't like that anyways. I don't like chicks fighting over me and all that dumb shit. That's what y'all do. That's what you do. Stevie, you could do that. Stevie could sit in the room and Johnson's hitting on him and Mimi's hitting. Because Stevie would at the end of all the shows, Stevie was living with me. So we'd be sitting talking real shit. Stevie's shit was real too.
Yeah.
Stevie just didn't know how to. Stevie wanted Mimi and Jocelyn. If he could have pulled off the polygamy, that would have been the perfect. It would have worked. But they wasn't with it.
Yeah.
And that's what he was fighting. He was fighting for one family.
Yeah.
But they wasn't with it.
Yeah.
But that was happening in real life. And I'm telling this nigga like, bro. What the fuck is the matter with you? Like, you're bringing this on TV? Like, they actually found out about each other on TV.
What? Like, I heard that they found out each other
on TV. Like, see, Mimi thought that, might have thought, but Stevie actually went on there and was like, and really did that in their face. And I was like, you a motherfucker.
Mm.
I could have never done it. My conscience wouldn't have let me done that.
Mm.
Like, Steve's real sleaze. You know what I mean? I wasn't sleazy like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just felt like me and Althea started really gaining traction. People started fucking with us. And Mona didn't like it. Steve and Johnson didn't like it. Nobody liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like they was the it couple.
Mm-hmm.
And after the reunion, we got fired because when the fight broke out, there's 40 guys. I'm looking for Althea. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? This is my fiance.
Yeah.
I'm at this point, I'm like, somebody's dying up in this motherfucker because I don't play, like, I really, I'm in love. I don't know how the fuck the rest of y'all feel. Y'all attacking my, no. I ended up finding a room. I never said this, Ray. So I ended up finding a room. I didn't know where Althea was. I'm losing my mind trying to find my girl. And there's a room where all the TVs and stuff are at. And Mona's in there, and producers in there. I took a TV off the wall, I ripped it, and I shut the door. I say, nobody leave. I'm gonna kill everybody. If y'all don't get me out there, nobody leaves this room. That's what happened.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was like it was the production room with all the big wigs in there. And I went in there, I said, I'm gonna kill everybody in this motherfucker, and nobody's leaving. Y'all bring me out there now, because at that point, I don't know what, there's 40 motherfucking dudes with black, nobody knows where the fuck nobody's at.
Yeah.
Y'all either bring her here or everybody's dying in this room right now. And that's the we end up getting fired.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.